Today's shiur is Masech Menachos Daf Nun Vav. We will begin on Daf Nun Vav Amar Aleph, the top line, Maskelo Ravina. In the previous shiur, the Gemara had quoted the pasuk that the Torah states in the parasha of a Soyer HaNasi that we discussed in the previous shiur, if the Nasi, if the king, does an Aveira, for which a regular Jew would be obligated to bring a Karban Chatos, the Nasi has to bring a Sor. And the Torah, in speaking about that pasuk, says the words, "V'samach yada roish ha'soyer v'shachra isoy b'makim ashiyishkat esoylef ne'ashem chatosu." And as we established in the previous year, the word "isoy" is a extra word in that pasuk, and what it's not coming to teach us, as we learned yesterday, is to teach us that only this karban chatos requires tzafin. No other karban chatos requires tzafin. Because as we learned yesterday, the Torah says, v'shachet es ha-chatos v'makom she-yishchet es ha-oilah. The Torah is very clear that all karban chatos are brought b'tzafin. So therefore, as we begin today's shiur, we're faced with the issue, what does the word oisai come to teach us? So the Gemara at the end of the previous shiur said it comes to teach us that the chatos that was brought by the Nesiim, as we've discussed numerous times, the first 12 days that the Mishkan was inaugurated, every day the Nesiim, a different Nasi, brought a whole series of Kabbanis. They're called the Kabbanis of Nachshon, because Nachshon was the first Nasi to bring Kabbanis. And we said that even though the Torah teaches us that the Nachshon, the Nasi, has to do smicha, still the din on his Karban Chatos, the Aloch of Tzofim, were not to apply. As the Gemara said at the end of the shiur, how do we know that the Nasi has to do smicha? The pasuk said, v'samach yod al roish ha-soyer. But ask the Gemara, maskelo Ravina, tenach Rabbi Yehuda. This explanation that we've now given, at least at this point, is understandable according to Rabbi Yehuda. Because Rabbi Yehuda says that the soyer nachshon required smicha, and therefore the pasuk is teaching us that even though it required smicha, it does not require tzafin. However, Rav Shimon had a whole different need for this pasuk. According to Rav Shimon, the pasuk was coming to teach us the din of Seirei Avodes Kechavim. So, then we don't need this pasuk to teach us this law, because we're not talking about Tzor Nachshon at all. Ma'ik L'meima. And the Gemara goes a step further. Omlei Mazutra B'rei Demari L'Ravina L'Rabbi Yehuda, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who you think that according to Yehuda, you have an understanding why we need the word Isai, that we need the word Isai to teach us that the Sora Nachshon doesn't require tzafin. Why would we say so? Why don't we say, my this rabbi is rabbi? Yes, the Torah says that the Sora Nachshon requires smicha. But why don't we understand that the Torah says requires smicha, so indeed it will require smicha. My delayus rabbi, layus rabbi. But what the Torah doesn't tell us is required will not be required. And since the Torah doesn't tell us that tzafin is required by the Soran action, why would we think that it is required that we need the word oisai to exclude it? Says the Gemara, and the Gemara makes a beautiful point. The Chitaim, and if you'll argue, Eloi matakra, will we not have a pasuk that explicitly teaches us that the Soran action doesn't require tzafin? Have a meaning, we would say the following, because we could learn Taisa v'binyanav, we should learn the Sora Nachshon from all other Karban Chatos, and just like all other Karban Chatos requires tzafin, so too with the Sora Nachshon. So it says the Gemara, that logic is obviously flawed, because if you could learn Sora Nachshon from all other Chatos, then Smicha Gufa, the halacha that we've been discussing about Smicha, why do I need a pasuk to teach us that the Sor Nachshon requires smicha? Lish the krumina. The Torah should not speak about it at all. The taste of binyanav. We should learn the halacha of the Sor Nachshon from all other karban chatos. Ella, how must we answer? Shad midaris lo yalpinin. You can't learn the Sor Nachshon, which was a one-time event by the inauguration of the Mishkan, from all other chatos that will be brought in all of our history. If that's the argument, hachinami, so similarly, shamadaris loyopinin. There's no reason to believe that the Sar Nachshon should require Tzofen, that I need the word Oisai to eliminate it, you can't, you know, with simple logic, we won't say that we should learn it from regular Karban Chatas. So we're back to where we started. The Torah uses this extra word of Oisai, but it's Sar Nasi, and we need to understand what is it coming to teach us. Answers the Gemara, El Oisai, it comes to teach us that the animal must be betzafin, then a shoychit, I'm betzafin. But the shoychit, who's shechting the animal, doesn't have to stand betzafin. The Mefarshim make a number of points. Brisk Rav says, the animal standing betzafin, what does that mean? He says, clearly, the neck of the animal has to be betzafin, and most of the body of the animal has to be betzafin. Machloikus Rishonim, what about the knife? Some Rishonim say that the knife certainly has to be betzafin. Means if you have a long knife, most of that knife has to be betzafin. Other Rishonim say that the Gemara is talking about the animal, not about the knife. Another interesting question. We learned in Masechet Zvachim that the halacha is that the person who shechs the animal doesn't even have to stand in the Azara. He could stand outside of the Azara. So if he could stand outside the Azara, he certainly doesn't have to be betzafen in Azara. Why would we need a pasuk to teach us that he doesn't have to be betzafen in Azara? So Mefarshim give two answers. One answer that they give is that our Gemaras are going according to the opinion of Shimon HaTimani, that yes, the Shoychet has to be in the Azara. Because our Gemara is teaching us that even though he has to be in the Azara, he himself personally does not have to be in the Tzofen HaZara. Another way of explaining is that Gemara was talking about Kachim Kalim. Our Gemara is talking about Kachim. Kachim Kalim, the Shoychet indeed could be outside of the Azara entirely. By Kachim, the Shoychet must be in the Azara according to everyone. But now the Gemara is teaching us that even though he has to be in the Azara, he doesn't have to be in the Tzofen HaZara. Ask the Gemara, this halacha, that the animal must be in the tzofen, but not the shoychit, that we learned from somewhere else. But Rav Achya Nafka, have we not learned that from what Rav Achya told us? The Tanya Rav Achya Oimer, V'shochra Yisrael Yerech HaMizbeach Tzofayna, Ma Tamalayma, L'fish Mitzinu, because we know, B'mekabal, that the Kabbalah's Hadam of Kotshe Kotshim has to be betzofen. And not only must the animal be betzofen, but the makabel, the one receiving the dam, also shayim betzofen, or makabel betzofen, he has to be personally standing betzofen, doing the Kabbalah. And the halacha is, v'm amid bedarim, the kibbal betzofen, but if he's not standing himself in the tzofen, he's standing in the darim, and just doing the Kabbalah betzofen, possible it's disqualified. Yochel, we would think that Avzeh Kain, so too is the halacha regarding the shechita, tamaloymer, that's why the Torah says, oisai, ois betzofen. So we already know this halacha. We don't need this word oisai to teach us this. So I saw, number one, that the Rishonim point out, why is there a difference between the shaychet and the makabel? By the shchita, the shaychet doesn't have to be betzofen. By kabbalah, the makabel has to be betzofen. The answer is, because shchita is not considered an avoida, and kabbalah is considered an avoida. What's the raya? A halacha that we've learned, we're going to speak about it soon again. Shchita ksher bazar, Kabbalah may not be done bazar. But then, the Rishonim ask a gevaldige kasha. The Gemara is saying to teach us the halacha, that by Karban Chatos, we don't need the shaykh betzofen, we only need the animal betzofen. I can learn from what Rav Achya taught us. Ask the Rishonim, Rav Achya was saying his rule regarding a Karban Oila. And we're talking about a Karban Chatos. So, we're looking to teach us this halacha by Karban Chatos. Why is the Gemara saying? We know it from Rav Achya. Rav Achya isn't that speaking about a Karban Chatos. Rav Achya is speaking about a Karban Oila. So I saw two answers that the Rishonim give to this question. One answer, which really we refer to this pasuk at the beginning of our shiur, the entire halacha that shechita of the Karban Chatos takes place in the tzofen is learned from Karban Oila, as the pasuk says, v'shochet es achatos v'makom sheyishchet oila. So the chatos is the derivative of the oila. So if Rav Achya teaches us that the oila, the shaykh doesn't have to speak, stay in the tzofen, then chatos certainly so will be the halacha. That's one tarot I saw. Another teretz is, what is the basis for Rav Achya's rule? Because the Torah uses the words ha'oila, the word ha'oila, that only ha'oila, the animal itself, must be b'tzofim and not the shoychet. The same word is in the parasha of the Kamechatos, where the Torah says ha'chatos, to teach us that only the animal has to be there, not the shoychet. So we don't need the word oisai to teach us. So we're back to where we started. We started trying to understand what are we going to do with that word oisai by the parasha of Saranasi, and we still haven't understood what to do with it. Says the Gemara, Ella, we learn from the word like this, ois b'tzofen, that the, by shchita of a behema, it has to be b'tzofen, vein ben oi b'tzofen. When we bring a bird, and the Rishonim explained it, the Mefarshim explained it's both by chatas oif, or oilas oif, it doesn't have to be b'tzofen. Because sakadat t'chamina, we can make an argument, and learn the following kavachoyma, leis b'kavachoyma, b'ben soin, make the following kavachoyma, or ma ben soin, when it comes to an animal, shloi kavaloi koyin, the halach is, as I just said, shchita k'sher bizar. The shchita doesn't have to be done by a koyin. The halach is kavaloi tzofen. The shchita, as we've been learning, of an animal that's kachi kachim, has to be b'tzofen. Ben oif, by a bird, where the halach is, shkavaloi koyin, the malika on a bird must be done specifically by a koyin, ain't a din shnikvaloi tzofen. That's why I need the word oisai to eliminate that no. The bird doesn't have to be done with tzofen. As says the Gemara, this kavachomer is a flawed kavachomer. Mala ben soin, when we shecht an animal, the halacha is, she can cover like keili. It has to be done with a knife. A bird is slaughtered without a knife, just with the fingernail, with the malika. So the kavachomer, and as the Mefarshim explained, and this is very fundamental in understanding kavachomers. But the Gemara is saying is as follows. If you want to learn a cow, if you want to learn a choymer from a cow, it really has to be choymer. If it isn't purely more stringent, then the kav choymer falls away. Since we've identified that in one respect, oif is more lenient than an animal, in which respect, that by an animal you need to use a sakin, and by an oif you don't, that is enough to refute the kav choymer. But then the Mefarshim ask, we quoted this machlokes in Masechta Zvachim. Where is the malika done? So the opinion of the Ravid is that the malika is done on the Mizbeach itself. But according to the Rizah, the malika is done anywhere in the Azara. So according to the Rizah, the Mefarshim point out, our Gemara is very understandable. The Rizah tells us that the halacha is, you could do the shechita of the malika, of an oif, anywhere in the Azara, and we would think that it should be b'tzofen, that's why we need the word oisai, at least that was the Gemara's havamina, that you don't. But according to the Ravid, that the halacha is, that you could only do it on the Mizbeach, how do we understand this Gemara? And the Mefarshim go a step further. They say, there's a machloikis, there's actually a three-way machloikis, Tanom, where was the Mizbeach? Some Tanom hold, it was completely b'tzofen. So it was completely b'tzofen. And the Ravid is telling us that that's what the Malika has done. This Gemara doesn't make sense. There's a second opinion that was completely b'darim. Again, the Gemara doesn't make sense. If the Mizbeach is completely b'darim, and the Ravid says that that's what you do to Malika, so how could the Gemara have a Havimina that the Malika should be done b'tzofen? There's a third opinion that says that the Mizbeach was half b'tzofen, half b'darim. That opinion will make a lot of sense. That the Mizbeach is half b'tzof and half b'darim. And the Ravid says that the Malika has to be done on the Mizbeach. So we would think on which portion of the Mizbeach, on the tzofen side, teaches us the Gemara that you don't have to. But what about the other Tanoim? How are they going to understand this Gemara according to the Ravid? So the Mefarshim explained that the Ravid is going to explain according to this Tanoim that when he says that the Malika has to be done on the Mizbeach, it's only talking about the person standing on the Mizbeach. But the bird doesn't have to be on the Mizbeach. And the Gemara is thinking in the Havamina that the person has to be standing on the Mizbeach, and that the bird has to be b'tzofen, k'mashmon, that the bird could be anywhere in the Azara. But now that we've established that that isn't the case, because the Kav Chaimer, as we explained, is flawed, we're back to where we started. What does the word oisai come to teach us? Ella oisai b'tzofen. The Kav Mechatos has to be brought b'tzofen, vein b'esach b'tzofen. But the Karban Pesach doesn't have to be brought with Tzofen. Ask the Gemara, I don't need this Pasuk to teach us that law, that rule. Pesach from Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov Nafka. That we already know from Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. The Tanya Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov Oimer, Yochu Yei Pesach Ton Tzofen. We would suggest that Karban Pesach requires to be done in Tzofen. And with dinner, we can make the following argument. If the oiler, that there is no specific time when it has to be specifically slaughtered, the halacha, as we've been learning, is kavalei tzofen, must be done with tzofen, Pesach, shekavalei zman l'shchitasa, Pesach that has a time, and a din, sheyikvalei tzofen, certainly should be done with tzofen. So the Rishonim explain what makes the fact that it's brought, that it has kavalei zman, what makes it a chomer, what makes it more stringent. So Rishonim explain, as we've learned numerous times, any carbon that's kavalei zman, any carbon that has a specific time when it should be brought, the halacha is it's doicha Shabbos and it's doicha Tumah. So since Pesach has this chomer that's kavalei zman, the halacha it has this chomer that's kavalei zman has a specific date, Yudalad Nisan. So if Oyla requires tzofen, suggests Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, certainly Pesach should require tzofen. Says the Gemara, you can't learn the halacha of Pesach from Oyla. Because Mala Oyla shekain kolol. The oil has a chumra that's completely burnt. The Pesach isn't completely burnt. On the contrary, most of the Karban Pesach is eaten. Says the Gemara, we'll learn it from Chatos. Just like the Chatos is brought b'tzofen, so too the Pesach should be brought b'tzofen. That also is flawed, says the Gemara. Because Mala Chatos shekain mechaperis al chayvei krisis. Chatos has the chumra that it's mechaper even chayvei krisis, Pesach doesn't. Says the Gemara, okay, so let's try to learn from Asham. Asham isn't only mechaper chayvei krisis. However, says the Gemara, Ma'alo Asham, Shekein Kachim Kachim. Asham has the Chumra that's Kachim Kachim. Pesach is not Kachim Kachim. And in fact, says the Gemara, now that we've made this point, that you can't learn the Halacha Pesach, which is Kachim Kalim, from Kabbonis, which are Kachim Kachim, says the Gemara, even if we'll try to combine Oila, Chatos, and Asham, we still can't learn Pesach from them. Mikur Nami, we can't learn Pesach from all of them. Shekachi kachim. These kabbalas are kachi kachim, and that's why perhaps they require tzofen, and Pesach doesn't. So we still are where we were at the beginning of the shir. What does the Torah want to teach us with this word oisoi that the Torah inserts in the parsha of Sa'at Nasi? El says the Gemara, El oilan kerekamina mekara. We go back to the beginning of the shir. Oisoi betzofen, that only the animal has to be betzofen, vein a shaykh betzofen, but the shaykh doesn't have to stay betzofen. When we said this teretz at the beginning of the shir, with the kokashlach, we immediately asked, murder of Achya Nafka, have we not already learned that halacha for Rav Achya? Answers the Gemara, the Rav Achya lav lemute shaykh betzofen udasa. The point of Rav Achya's halacha is not to teach us that where the shaykh stands. Halacha kamer. His main point was, that the mekabel is Adam, not only must the animal be betzofen, but even the mekabel, the kohen, has to be betzofen. And that's his point. Nothing to do with shaychet. Shaychet, we learn from the word eyesight. As the Gemara, we don't need Rav Achya to teach us that the mekabel stands betzofel. Mekabel, melokach, velokach nafka. He learns it from the Torah instead of using the word lokach. Uses the words vilokach. So again, we don't need Rav Achya to teach us. If that's what we're saying, Rav Achya is coming to teach us, we don't need him to teach us that. And says the Gemara, lokach v'lokach lo mashmalei. He learns it from the extra vav of vilokach. Rav Achya doesn't accept that that's a legitimate limud, and therefore, he needs his limud, but that entire point of his limud is to teach us a halacha regarding Kabbalah Saddam. Regarding Shechita, he doesn't talk. How do we know that by shechita the halacha is that only the animal of kachi kachim must be betzofen, but not the shaykh himself? We learn from the word eisai. So we learned in the Mishnah, going back to the Karban Mincha. V'chayv al ishasav al rechasav al fiyasa. Any act, if somebody makes it into chametz, the halacha is yichayv. Makes the Gemara the point. Amra papa ofa, if somebody bakes it, loich ishtayim. If somebody bakes the Karban Mincha into a chametz loaf, he's chayiv two malkas. Achas ala richasa, one for shaping it, v'achas ala rifiyasa. And we'll explain this more in a moment. Ask the Gemara, how could you say that this person is chayiv two malkas? V'amrit ma'afim yuchad shimasi yichidi. since a fear is unique, that it's a unique act, and therefore v'chayov alam b'fnei atzma, so we say that you chayv for the fear itself, not two. Answers the Gemara, ha'loi kasha, ha'da'ar chu v'ofahu, ha'da'ar chav rivi yofalei v'ofah. So the machlok is how to understand this Gemara. I'm actually going to go out of order. I'm going to explain, I'm going to give Tosfos' explanation first, even though we usually do Rashi first. Rashi is a little more complicated. Tosfos explains the Gemara as follows. Tosfos is saying, usually, it's the same individual who does the shaping and the baking. And therefore, the Braisa, this piece of Gemara began with, says that if it's that one individual who did both the shaping and the baking, he'll be chayiv two malchus. But, says the Gemara, continues Tosfos to explain the Gemara, that if one is careful, that it's one individual who did the entire shaping, and the other individual who did the entire baking, then the one who did the shaping will be chayiv his malchus for shaping, for aricha, and the one that did baking will be chayiv his malchus for afiyah. That's how Tosfos explains the Gemara. Rashi has a whole different explanation. Rashi says, this is the way the Karen Ayer explains Rashi. He says, even if we have a situation that one person did the shaping and another person did the baking, every act of baking really has in it two parts. Really has in it two parts. It has in it the actual baking, obviously. But baking, by definition, is the completion of the shaping. So if somebody does a fear, his act has in it two averis. One shaping, because a fear by definition is gemar aricha, the completion of the aricha, and it's also the fear. So according to Rashi, what will happen is that the person, if one person did the aricha and another person did the fear, the person who did the aricha will be chayiv one malchus, and the person who does the afiyah will be chayiv two malchus, one for gemar aricha and one for the afiyah. And actually, this pshat that we're explaining, and as I said, it's the Karen Ayer's understanding of Rashi, is really very fundamental. Because the Rishonim ask, according to Rashi's explanation of the Gemara, when this person did the afiyah, how do we give him asra? Rashi says when somebody does afiyah, included in afiyah two acts. Afiyah and aricha. So what was that straw? We know you can't give somebody malchus unless you gave him a straw. What did they tell him when they gave him that straw? So some Rishonim say a very simple teretz, going back to what we discussed in the previous year. They didn't tell him lois seifa. If they indeed only told him don't bake, so he'd only be chayiv for afiyah. But as we learned in the previous year, the pasuk uses the words lois sasa chametz. So they told him lois sasa chametz, don't make it into chametz. Sasa is a very broad term and includes aricha and afiyah. But according to the way we're understanding Rashi, it's very geshmak. Even if the hasra only had the word afiyah, but the way we're explaining now, the word afiyah, the definition of the word afiyah has two parts to it. Aricha, gemar aricha, and afiyah. So even if they didn't use the word aricha, he'd be chayiv two malchus, because every afiyah has in it a gemar aricha and an afiyah. Continues the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan. We know what halacha is. That if somebody has a firstborn baby of a kosher animal, a chamar is a whole different halacha, we're going to talk about a kosher animal, that animal is a bechor. What is the halacha with that animal? That animal is given to the kohen, and the kohen brings that as a carbon, and it's treated like a carbon shlam, essentially. Unless the animal is a bal mum. If the animal is a bal mum, the halacha is that you can't, the kohen could check that it needed like regular meat. But there's a very important rule, and it's really the primary subject in Mitzvah Shem we're going to learn Masechta Bechairis. The primary subject of Masechta Bechairis is what is a mum, and moreover, it's also for somebody to make a mum in a Bechar. So the Gemara discusses the following situation. Bechar Shach Sadam. A Bechar has a blood clot. So the way blood clots were healed was by letting blood. Says the Tanakhama, the keys in Oysa Adam, we're allowed to let blood, even though letting blood is an act of making a mum on an animal, strictly b'makom she'ein Oysa mum, but you're only allowed to do so in a place where the animal, by doing so, doesn't become a bal mum. Ve'im akizin sadam b'makom she'ein mum. If the hakaza involves making the animal into bal mum, it's osur. Divrei Rameya. That's the opinion of Rameya. B'chamayim, the Chama hold, Yakis af b'makom sh'ayis b'mum. If HaKazah is required, do the HaKazah. However, uvvach lo yishchad alayis b'mum. You can't call the animal b'mum because the mum that you made. Machlokes Rishonim as why, as to why. Rashi learns, very simple pshat. The only mum that's considered a valid mum that the Bechor should be allowed to be slaughtered, not as a carbon, is not a man-made mum. So if you made this mum, it's a man-made mum, that isn't considered a valid mum for which you could shech the animal. That's how Rashi learns. Taisus disagrees. Taisus doesn't make a difference. Taisus says it's only because of a gzeira. Taisus says, if the halacha will be that a man-made mum is considered a mum for which you could shech the behemah, we're concerned that the person is going to make a mum. So to avoid that problem, we say if you're going to make the mum, it's not counted anyway. Rav Shimon says, Rav Shimon is the most lenient, af nishchad alayis mum. You can be makers dam, and that's considered a good enough mum that the animal now is considered a bal mum. What is the reason for Rav Shimon? Mechloikas Rishayim. Here too. Rashi learns, we know the opinion of Rav Shimon throughout Shas, that a davashem is kaven as mutter. Your intent here, says Rashi, according to Rav Shimon, is not to make the animal a bal mum. Your intent is to heal him. And therefore, it's not considered you made into bal mum. I asked the mefarshim the obvious question, which we know Rav Shimon, even though he holds a davashem is kaven as mutter, holds by psik resha, where the result is inevitable. It's not considered davashem is kaven. So if you're going to do akazas adam, it's an inevitable result. Why is that considered psik resha? Mefarshim will ask this question, and the Mefarshim respond, it's a psik resha on the mum. It's not a psik resha that you're going to shecht it. The yisr is not the mum. This is the shechita, and therefore that's not considered psik resha. That's how Rashi explains. Taisus has a whole different explanation. Taisus' explanation in understanding of Shimon is a much simpler explanation. He says that Shimon holds that if the animal has a mum, and you need to operate, you need to operate. And it's not called making a mum, it has nothing to do with Dov Hashem Miskavin. Rav Yehuda Amar, Rav Yehuda is the most stringent. I feel a mace, and mekizin lo yisadam. Even if the cost will be that the animal should die, we're not allowed to do hakazas dam. We're not allowed to tamper with an animal that's a bechor. So, this is a nice piece of Gemara. We're going to come back to it in a moment. But what does it have to do with Masechta Menachos? So, the Gemara prepares us for that. And the answer is, what we're learning here is, what was the issue that we just discussed? The issue we just discussed was, if an animal is already bal mum, could you make it a bal mum again? And that is the same thing. We've been discussing already for the last two shiurim that you're not allowed to make a carbon mincha into chametz. The question is, if a carbon mincha is already chametz, may you make it chametz again? Omer Achibar Abba, Omer Abyakar, Hakam Moidim, but mechametz, achem mechametz. When it comes to making carbon mincha that's chametz further into chametz, shuchayiv. That will be chayiv. The ksiv, because the Torah goes out of the way, it's saying, loisas chametz, that even though it's already chametz, you may not make it chametz again. Says the Brisker Rav, when does that rule apply? Only, as we discussed in the previous year, and the Mishnah said this, when we speak about a carbon mincha becoming chametz, there are different parts. There's the chametz, and there's the shirayim. Says the Brisker Rav, when our Gemara is teaching us the halacha, mechametz, achem, mechametz, it's strictly regarding the shirayim. The chametz, once it's chametz, the chametz is the part that's burnt on the mizbeach. Once it's chametz, it's disqualified. So there's nothing to talk about. The chiddush here is that we're learning that the shirayim may not be made into chametz. Teaches us the Gemara that not only may they not be made into chametz, but mechametz ach mechametz is chayiv as well. But here there's a very big discussion in the Achrayinim. Menachas Chinuch has a very big discussion about this. What is the definition of mechametz ach mechametz? Because if you think about it, mechametz ach mechametz is very complicated. If it's already chametz, so what's my point of making it chametz again? Chametz is chametz. And because of that question, the Menachas Chinuch and many mefarshim take the approach, not everybody, some say that the issur of chimutz is an issue, issur gavra. You're not allowed to make the shirayim chametz, even if you're accomplishing nothing. But Menachas Chinuch doesn't take that approach. His approach is only if you're accomplishing something with your second act, then it's going to be considered mechametz ach mechametz that you chayev. What does that mean? So the case that everybody agrees to is the following. Let's say you have the shirayim, and the shirayim are 10 kezaisim big. And one kezais of that shirayim is already chametz. And now you take another kezais, that till now wasn't chametz, and you make it chametz, that's going to be considered mechametz lach mechametz. Everybody agrees to that. But then I saw that they discussed the following situation. The entire shrayim is already chametz. But you know, if you ever baked, the more yeast you put into a flour, it causes to leaven. Yeast is a leavening agent. So let's say you already have this dough, chametz, but you put more yeast, so it'll rise even more. Is that going to be considered that you accomplished something that according to the Mechas Chinuch will be considered mechametz achem mechametz? Furthermore, says the Gemara, the Mesaris achem Mesaris, the Torah teaches us that you're not allowed to castrate an animal. Mesaris achem Mesaris, if you do it the second time, shuchayiv. What's the raya? Because the Torah, in speaking about this din, says, umach v'kosis v'nosuch v'karis, you may not make in your in Eretz Yisrael, l'sas ba'atzchem. But the pasuk is a difficult question. Kairis means that you only cut off the gid. Noisik means that you completely detached it. So the question is, if the Torah teaches us, a kairis u'chayiv, a noisif, like koshken that yechayiv, ela lohavi noisik ha'kairis. That if you did the nasika after the krisa, so you accomplished something and yechayiv. Ela loy nechlaku, where is the subject of discussion? What we just discussed. El matl mum b'balmum. If the animal is already a balmum, may you already make it into another balmum? May you make another mum to it? Remeya sover, Remeya holds. The Torah Kedoshah says the words, kol mum la yibay. And even though the animal is already balmum, you can't add another mum to it. Rabbanan sovri, no. The Torah says, tamim yilaratzen. Only if the animal is a tamim, only if the animal is unblemished, may you not make a mum. But if the animal is blemished, then there's no problem. So now ask the Gemara, v'remei nam yoksif tamim yilaratzen. Don't Rabban have a strong point? The Pasuk says, only by a tamim, only by an animal that's unblemished do I have a problem. But if the animal is blemished, I obviously don't have this problem. Answers the Gemara, no. Remei is going to say that that Pasuk is coming to teach us a different din. Ha'hulamuti ba'mum yikara. Remei is saying that there's a difference between whether the animal was born a ba'mum or the animal became a ba'mum. If the animal was born a ba'mum, so there Remei is going to agree that you're allowed to add a mum. His discussion, our discussion today, is referring to a case where the animal was born fine and then became ba'mum. The halacha is you can't put a mum to it. Ask the Gemara, ba'mum yikara, I don't need a pasuk to teach us that an animal was born a ba'mum. You could add a mum to it. If it was born a ba'mum, tik l'ba'amuhu. Halachically, it's considered like a piece of wood. Says the Gemara, elamute pesulei mekdashim lacha pejoinim. Which means as follows. The halacha is that if you magdish an animal and it becomes disqualified, so you have to redeem the animal. And even though you redeem the animal, we've learned many times, the halacha is that that animal, which was originally hegdish, is osa begizav avoida. You can't just treat the animal like you treat any other animal and shear its wool and use it for work. So sakadat chamina, hoil v'osa begizav avoida. Since this animal is osa begizav avoida, b'mumim nami litzri, it should be osa to make a mum to it, kamash malon. That's why we need the pasuk to teach us that it's mutter. Machloikis rishonim, if this din is regarding only an animal, the case that I described, the animal that was hegdish became balmum and was redeemed, or is this din also by a bechor? That means, if a bechor became balmum, will the halacha be, that even Ramey agrees, it's a full-fledged balmum, what will be the halacha if you could add a mum to it? Now ask the Gemara the other way around. Rabbanan nami yoksiv kamum lo yibay. Doesn't Torah say kamum lo yibay that you're not allowed to make a mum even though the animal is already a baal mum? Answers the Gemara, Hahumi boile, Rabbanan need that pasuk to teach us a different halacha. L'chetanya, v'chamum lo yibay, eloi elish lo yihay b'mum. The halacha is that certainly you're not allowed to make a mum on b'char. M'naim shlo yigrul mo yaydei acherim. But how do we know that you're not allowed to even cause, usually in halacha, Grom is mutter. How do we know that here, grom is osur? Menayin shloy grim l'idei acherim. And the Gemara gives example. Shloy niach botzek odveil, don't put a piece of dough or a fruit, agabe oizen, on the ear of this bechor, Kadesh Yova Kelvit Lena, the dog will come and bite it and take it off. Tamalaim Kamum. Even Grom is Asur. The Torah is teaching us a specific Chumrah. That even though Bekala Torah Kula, Grom is Mutter, here Grom is Asur. Interesting point I saw in the Achronim, based on this Limud. We know, also, Bekala Torah Kula, the Halach is Ein Shlich L'Dvayar Veira. But just like the Torah is teaching us, when it comes to making a Mumma Bechor, there's a special Chumrah, that even a Grom is Asur, so too will be the halacha that if one appoints a shliach to make a mum to his bechor, it's also asr. And we don't set a rule of en shlich l'dvar veira. The mefarshim discussed this issue because the issue is a very serious issue. Because if a bechor is born nowadays, so we don't have a kohen, we don't have a mizbeach, and we're learning you can't make a mum to bechor. So what do you do nowadays? So what many people do is that if they know that their animal is pregnant and it's going to have a firstborn, and there's a 50-50 chance it's going to be a boy, they sell the animal to a guy. Many people do this. The Tfuah Shor is very concerned about it. He says it's a haroma, because you're not really intending to sell it. You're just trying to get out of the mitzvah. And then the question comes up, which is a machlokes rishonim, if the din of bechor bizman hazeh is a din d'oraisa, or din the rabbanon, and the paiskim differentiate between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz. And Chutz Laretz it could be more lenient. The paiskim say in Eretz Yisrael it's much more of a question if you could rely on this mechira. One more interesting discussion. We've learned in our shir, mechametz ach mechametz is asur. So the Meches Chinuch discusses the following situation. We know there's a very serious isur of erasing Hashem's name. Right? Assassin Kein Hashem Lokechem. So while the question is, let's say you have a Sefer Torah, and you have Shem Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, and one of the letters is erased already. So the question is, are you allowed to erase the rest of the letters? Because it's not the Shem Hashem. The Yud is missing already. So certainly, the Meches Chinuch says, Midrabbanan it's Asur. There's no question. The issue is midrais, is it asur or not? What is the question? Mechametz ach mechametz. And the Meches Chinuch wants to suggest that our Gemara is showing us that there are only two places in halacha where mechametz ach mechametz or kairos ach noisik, specifically these situations are where the Torah teaches us mesaris ach mesaris, where yichayif. It seems to be teaching us that everywhere else it wouldn't be a problem. And the Meches Chinuch therefore suggests that it won't be an Issa D'Raisa if you have the Yud Kei Vav Kei, one of the letters is already missing, to erase the rest of the letters. Other Mefarshim, other Paiskim disagree with the Meches Chinuch. Because they say there's a very fundamental difference, and it goes back to something we discussed in our Shia. Mechametz Ach Mechametz, why do I need a Pasuk to teach us the Tichayiv? So we suggest when we learn the Gemara, it's already Chametz anyway. So what are you accomplishing by doing a second act? That's why the Torah has to teach us mechametz ach mechametz, even though you're really not accomplishing anything, yechayiv. When somebody writes the Shem Hashem, every letter, yud kei, vav kei, every letter of that Shem Hashem gets a kedusha. The kedusha of every letter is independent of the fact that it's part of the Shem Hashem. And therefore, since every letter individually has a kedusha, the fact that one letter was already erased, not through you, it just got erased by itself, doesn't take away the kedusha of the other letters. And therefore it has nothing to do with mechametz ach mechametz. Every letter has its own kedusha, and erasing chas v'shalom that letter is an issa d'oraisa.